Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Yes, we survived the storm, and someone else who survived the storm with me, coming at you live from beautiful Centerville, Virginia. The beautiful, wonderful, one and only mermaid memeing mentalist, it is Anna Knox.
Happy Monday, Gil, or I should say happy snow day Monday.
Happy we survived the damn white stuff day.
I know. I saw you posted how much you hate the snow. Trust me, this mermaid would much rather be in bathing suit flip-flops by the pool or on the beach. Certainly not having to layer up and freeze my ass off as I'm shoveling snow so no one gets injured outside of my house when they're walking by on the sidewalk. So, but that's okay. I'm not angry at all, because I will say it has been awesome to see Bella in the snow. She absolutely loves it. So that's been fun.
Yep. And my cat BJ loves staring out the window at the snow.
There you go. Way to go, BJ.
I'm not going to waste too much time about it, but yes, I know, for somebody who loves a winter sport like hockey to hate snow and ice, well, it's not fun to slip on it, whether you're walking or driving. It is fun to skate on it. I've said many times, I do a lot of driving, both for my my job and for my family, and was not fun. And I also had to do a lot of shoveling, as you did, and that wasn't fun either. In a separate post I posted on my personal Facebook page, because I'm pretty sure I did something totally unnatural to my back. If my back had a voice, it would be screaming every time I get up from a chair.
Ouch.
I'm fine when I walk around, but yeah.
Getting old.
Stiffer than a 1,000-year-old mummy, I tell you.
There's a vision.
But enough about my love life.
Froze. That's what she said. So in my neighborhood, and I think I might have joked about this a while ago, but being from California, I'm like, what the hell is this snowblower thing? Like, what am I supposed to do with this? And so we didn't purchase one until about 2 years ago. And we're like, oh, what a deal. And it just charges, and it's so easy, and like literally anybody could use it. Wouldn't this be amazing? So of course, here I'm out there today, and it was the first snow of the year, and we haven't had a whole lot, so I'm not going to complain too much. But now I'm out there, I got my music on, that rocking out to who knows what, and I got this, and our little snowblower's blue, and it makes this this little sound, and I'm doing the sidewalk and the driveway, and it's all good. And then I look across the street to this like neighbor of mine who's one of those guys that like never has a leaf on the ground, because he's like, oh, I need to get out there and rake every minute of every day in the fall. And he's got this like, oh my god, it's like a monster size snowblower with this huge engine. It's like, it's like he's just like some badass, and he's out there doing the same thing I am, and I'm thinking, really, did you just like seriously one up me on a snowblower? Because I don't care, like I'm happy, mine's doing the same thing, but My God, people in their snowblowers out here, it's like sacred. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's so weird to me. I don't understand. I don't understand that at all, but whatever. So he's out there and that's his precious baby's coming out. Like you think it was like a Corvette or something, you know, where you'd be like, oh yeah, look at my baby and I'm going to polish it. And it's like, it's a fucking snowblower guy, you know? So, and then like the guy across the street from him and it's like a pissing contest on like whose sidewalk looks better. And, you know, and here I am like, well, I hope nobody falls and slips in front of my house. Whatever. Yeah, so that's my neighborhood. And I didn't have school today, so that was kind of cool. I'll take it.
I would take that too, getting off work. Wish I had that deal, but you know, yeah, some of us aren't sexy teachers who get out of class
and get to push snowblowers around to make fun of their neighbors while they're you know. And I wish I could be like, oh yeah, and I was out there, you know, one of my neighbors does it in shorts, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna totally one up him. I'm gonna come out in shorts too. And then I was like, damn, it's I gotta shave my legs and it's in the winter and I'm like, oh, can't be bothered. So anyways, moving on, Mr. Gill, to this last week of Caps hockey, which wasn't as bad as before. It was all right, except for Saturday, but we don't have to jump ahead too much.
Yeah, no, not too bad. When last we left you, you on the other side of the speakers, earbuds, what have you, listening from the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and Commonwealth of Virginia, Caps had something of a rocky week. Three-game losing skid, and then righted the ship against Detroit on Sunday. Three games played since we last talked to you. Of course, as we record this, it's 5:30-ish Monday evening. So in about an hour and a half, rather, if I can get my mouth to work, they will be facing off against the St. Louis Blues at the Capital One Arena. But the three games before that were against the Philadelphia Flyers, a win. Up in Boston. Pause for effect for Anna. Well, I was hoping for a gold star there because I didn't say it the way you.
I was about to acknowledge that because I was waiting for you to like do your terrible accent.
I'm going for the gold star and the teacher's pet, and also we're trying to get through this as quickly as possible.
All right, you're good.
Okay.
Good job,
thank you. And the Saturday game against the Columbus Blue Jackets back at Cap One, which unfortunately was an overtime loss. So 2-1 for the week. Actually 2-0-1 because you get a loser point for losing in overtime because the NHL rewards losing.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't sit well with me, in case you can't pick up on that. So let's get to it with the week that was. So first game, of course, was against the Flyers, and opening the scoring again. Stop me if you've heard this before. Tom Wilson with his 13th.
Sorry,
had
to have the little Tom effect.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Right place, right time in front of the net, tips it in. Vrana and Eller on the assists. Jacob Voracek from the Flyers ties it up about 5 minutes later. Then we move on to the second. Oshie with his 12th. And then it became the Jacob Vrana show.
Yes, it did.
2 minutes after Oshie's goal, he throws in a wrister. Was this the one where... You know what?
It was unassisted.
It was unassisted, but there was one where I'm thinking of another goal, I think, but there was one where there was that long stretch pass and he had that mini breakaway. I don't think this was it though. I'm probably thinking of something else.
I think you're a couple of games ago, but this one was unassisted, and I felt like, and I made a little note that this was just one more example of his speed and skill, because it was.
Oh yes, I remember this goal now. He picked off an attempted pass by the Flyers in his own zone, and he corralled the puck, and then he was off to the races, and he got a lot of praise from both his teammates and the coaching staff for that, because it shows that he's been studying up on the game a lot more, and he's becoming a lot more than just the, hey, look what I found in front of the net, cherry picker type of player. No, he's beginning to read the play and anticipate and move in the right direction and position himself. That's a sign of somebody who studies the game and wants to improve himself. So I don't know how else to say it, but yes, bravo. Kudos to him for that. And but it was only the first of two goals. He would top himself 3.5 minutes later and score a wrister on the power play. Remember that one, to make it 4-1. And then the third, towards the end of the game, the wheels started to come off a little bit. Flyers made it a little too interesting for my liking. Wayne Simmonds was with his 13th. On a wrister, and then very close to the end, Claude Giroux making his 14th to make it 4-3. And then somewhere along the way, Tom Wilson had a goal disallowed because apparently he was offsides, which begged the question, how did the Flyers get a penalty that happened after the offsides? But they did.
Right.
Which pretty much killed their chances of coming back. And then Oshie puts it away 4 seconds later with an empty netter. And so that ends the score 5-3.
It wasn't just Oshie in the empty netter. That was his 200th.
Yes, that it was. That it was. Thank you for reminding us. And yes, that was TJ number 77's 200th goal of his storied career. Obviously a nice mile marker to have, and hopefully he'll have hundreds and hundreds of more goals before he retires, all in a red sweater with capitals on it. Okay. So look at the vitals, shots on goal. Stop me if you heard this before, horribly outshot 40-25 bad guys. Oh, good Lord. Jay Beagle, where have you gone? Face-off percentage, 70.3 loss percentage. I say again, 70.3% of the face-offs taken during this game were won by the Philadelphia Flyers. Got to do something about that, I would think.
Yes.
Power play, penalty kill came up big, shut down all five power play chances for the Flyers. PP was 1-for-4, as I said, with Vrana's goal. Penalty minutes, Flyers, well, you knew they were going to bring the rough stuff, so 23-15 there, no surprise. And ironically enough, also 23-15 exactly in the hits department favoring the Flyers. Block shots, stop me if you heard this before, 19 blocks for the Capitals. If you're going to give up a lot of shots, you're going to end up blocking them. Possession game, kind of balanced. This was not as choppy as the Detroit game, but towards the end got a little messed up, so probably can't read much from there. Much better overall command, I thought. They're second tier players, Vrana, Oshie, et cetera, Carlson. Well, I don't want to call him a second tier player, but let's see who else. The boy got a nice assist on the Vrana goal. You're second tier player. Vrana also got assist on the opening goal. So naturally he was made the first star of this game. and well O'Shea deserved. Carlson as well. Very well deserved. So yeah, nice to see. Nice to see. Like I said, the second liners step up, and they most certainly did. So second back-to-back wins for them. So moving on to the game after that, which was up at the, I think they still call it the TD Bank North Garden.
Boston. Let's just stick with Boston, Joe.
Oh, that place, yeah, where they move their vehicles in a place called Harvard Yard. Yeah. Okay, so opening the scoring in this game, I think this was, you know what? I think this is the goal I'm thinking of. Vrana with his 15th. So you're going to have to put a hose on him because he is definitely on fire. Opens it at 6:38. A nice stretch pass from TJ Oshie from about a few feet within his zone. Finds Vrana streaking. Of course, he had all his clothes on or else he would have been penalized.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of female fans and probably some male fans that would like to see Jacob Vrana streaking.
That too. Mm-hmm. But he made a beeline for the net, beating all the Bruins defenders and putting away the wrister to open the score. This is 15th again. Let's see. Bruins tie it up. About, I want to say seven and a half minutes later. Mm-hmm. Ryan Donato with his sixth of the year. If that last name sounds familiar, yes. He is the son of the other Donato that played for the U.S. Olympic team. I believe it was in 92. Okay, and moving on, only 39 seconds later in the second period. Oh, okay, sorry, I must apologize. I got my timing wrong. It's 14:11 in the second, not the first. So we're now in the second period. Donato, 14:11, gets his sixth. 39 seconds after that, Ovechkin gets his 31st, league-leading 31st, Tom Wilson on the assist. Let's see, moving on to the third. David Krejci with his eighth ties it up at two apiece. So it was nail-biting and cookie-munching time for us nervous types. Then Backstrom comes up with the big one about a minute later, 5:46, with a wrister. Assisted by Oshie and Jonas Siegenthaler, who is becoming a bit of a standout.
Yes.
And then towards the end, Bruins empty their net. Was not our name favorite, Tuukka Rask, that started, but an old enemy of ours, Mr. Yaroslav Halak, had vacated the net. So that gave Ovechkin a nice 150-foot bullseye shot that he put away for his 32nd. And he's rapidly climbing up the all-time goal-scoring ranks. So that pretty much put it away 4-2. I think the highlight of the game for me was I love the Vrana goal. I also love the fact that Brad Chicken Shit Marchand didn't want anything to do with Lars Eller.
Right. I have that. You can comment I have three things, that stood out aside from, the win and how I thought they looked. I thought the Capitals looked absolutely awesome against the Bruins, and I don't know what it is about that team and that rivalry but they looked hot. They looked good and I liked it. But I have, when I'm thinking of throughout the game, things that stand out. Okay, so we'll start with number one. Ovechkin pushing Chara. Brilliant. Probably one of my favorite replays that I've seen looped over and over again, because that guy is ridiculously, he's what, 6'7"? He's lurch, he's huge, and Ovechkin just takes him down. And it was one of those moments where it's like, here I am all about sportsmanship and let's, play clean. But this one was good. This one I'm like, teacher pass. I'm so okay with this. The second one, my number six, Michael Kempney, thank you for tripping Marshawn. I had only wished that it didn't wind up in a him being in the penalty box because of Marshawn being a little bitch and embellishing on the ice like he does. But whatever, it was, you know, just that guy just, oh, does he ever get under my skin? And then,
Oh, I get slashed in my right leg. Oh, suddenly my left leg is hurting. Sorry, go ahead.
But that's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, you just want to, you know, I always joke, well, not always joke, but, you know, I've said before that there are just those certain players that you just want to throat punch, and this would be one of them. Like,
yep.
I want to throat punch him with both fists at the same time if I could, because he's just smug, arrogant piece of shit, and I can't stand players. And embellishment is exactly why I don't watch soccer anymore. Because it just got to be so over the top, ridiculous. So don't bring it into hockey. Like, fucking man up, and you were tripped and move on. But then when you make it a big deal, it's like, oh, I hate you. But that whole, you know, Eller was ready to go and Marshawn, you know, backed down and then waited till after the game, you know, in the locker room, away from any capital players whatsoever, to
real man here.
Right? To say, oh, you know, well, he only plays 10 to 12 minutes and, you know, it's not worth my time. Bullshit.
Which is a stupid thing to say, by the way. What's he trying to compare? What is he doing? What is he saying?
Exactly. And it's like, okay, right there, you just proved, like, what an absolute, and I won't say that P word because I just absolutely hate that word. But
you know
he is.
You know what it means? You know what it means? Yeah, Marshawn, you think you're an all-star. Well, okay, yeah, I guess he's an all-star. He's been named to the all-star team. But you say you're this top first liner. Yeah, you got owned by a third liner. Okay, buddy? You got owned by a third liner because you refused to man up. Okay. That's what that means. So go crawl back into your hole and come up with another excuse.
Yeah. Oh, it was, I mean, and how embarrassing. It's like, you know, you, not that I would ever want him to redeem himself because I could give a shit about him. I don't like dirty players. I will not support dirty players. And we'll stand by that always. But you know what? Here you are in Boston, knowing that this is going to be a fast, aggressive, physical game. And you could have redeemed yourself by blocking, you know, dropping the gloves. And you pussied out. And yes, I hate that P word, but whatever. It's exactly what happened. And, you know, so I feel like his, you know, the man card revoked, kind of over him. And I hope someone just drops the gloves and beats his ass on the ice one of these games very, very soon. I don't care what team it is, because I am over his antics, the licking, the embellishment, whatever. Now you've taken it to all these circus antics to, you know, I'm done. Brad Marchand, I am done with you. So, again, and I probably said that at least 100 times over the last however many years, but saying it again, guy's a douchebag and I hate him.
Yeah, we'll see what he turns into. But he's probably, I would say, I'm biased here, of course, but I'd say he's got to be the most, if not one of the most hated players in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
At least amongst fellow players. Fans, on the other hand, we won't go there. Okay, I'm not going to bother to go over the stats, because if you read them, you would think that Boston should have and did win the game.
Right.
So we're going to skip over that. Suffice it to say, yes, horribly outshot, 41-22. Hence why Braden Holtby was the number one star of this game, and deservedly so. So he's returning to form as he should be. So moving on to the last game of the week, which was this past Saturday, back home at Cap One versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so let's see, not much scoring in this, only three goals. First period, Cam Atkinson, exactly 1 minute into the first, I had barely just gotten my butt sat on my couch when this happened. And yeah, and I was not too happy about that.
Especially with him.
But why him?
I don't know. He's
another. He's another D-bag.
I will say he's, you know, I'll just give you a little like Anna breakdown when it comes to people I like in sports and people I don't like in sports. There's the category of the Marchands and, you know, the Reeves and the Crosbys and the people who I just hate their mannerisms. I hate cocky, arrogant, embellishing, all that kind of stuff. There's like those players. And then there's the players that are on another team that are really fucking good and have so much potential. And I just hate them because they are good. And I think Cam Atkinson is just one of those players that you just have to watch out for. I mean, you know, it's there with this.
I agree. You are definitely on to something, because I think he's one. A lot of people counted Columbus out because... Right. Their two biggest stars, Bobrovsky and Panarin, they're both in a contract year, and right. They both have pretty much said, you know what, I'm out of here after this year. And so you would think they have nothing to play for, and it's guys like Cam Atkinson on that team that are stepping up. So yeah, you got something there, I would say.
Yeah, I think when you see a player's other aside from the stars and, you know, the leads, whatever, that kid's got skill. I mean, he's not a kid, but I'm going to call him a kid. And yeah, so I pseudo hate Cam Atkinson. I can't fully hate him because I can't put him in the same category as Marchand, who I like literally detest. That makes sense.
It does. It does.
Okay. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. So the rest of the scoring, Kuznetsov with time dwindling in the third, 1:06 to be left to be exact, ties it up at 1 and sends it to 3-on-3 overtime, where 3.5 minutes in exactly after being, what was the penalty? Nicklas Backstrom / Boone Jenner. At 3:18 and 12 seconds later, Panarin scores his 16th to put it away and give the Caps the loser point.
Right. Did you see this game?
Yeah. I saw like the whole first period, and I saw a little of the second because I had some stuff to attend to, and I saw the third period. And I saw overtime, of course, and that's when the tossing of the popcorn at the HD screen occurred.
No, wait, what about the foam brick?
Oh, that has become one of BJ's toys.
All right.
So,
BJ enjoys toys. That's good.
He's having quite the bit of fun with that. So I'm not gonna take that away. When it's within reach, I still toss it. But yeah.
So BJ toys and fun, it all goes hand in hand. That's awesome. anywho,
oh God, we are digging a hole.
That's all good. I will say, and I have not said this very often, this was not a game that the Capitals deserved to win. To be honest, it was one of those shaking my head. Who are these guys? Where's the consistency? Where's the balance? Where's the chemistry? They look tired. They just didn't seem like they were 100% into it, which is always very frustrating when it's also at home.
And you have a great point. Not to cut you off, but you have a great point there. But here's the funny thing: when I look at the first thing on the stat sheet, okay. This was the only one of the three games last week where the Caps outshot the opposition.
All right. No, this and they is the only time lost. Shots on goal were, I know. But the game, they did. They looked sloppy. It was a boring game. And honestly, like if you never even saw the game and you were looking at the stats and you were saying, okay, this is what it really came down to, that Backstrom slashing, that was it right there. That was the nail in the coffin. It was, you know, there was no coming back after that. And yes, I understand it was like, you know, 1857 or whatever the, or no, the slashing one actually was into overtime, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or 18, yeah. Whatever it was.
The game tying goal by Cousy was with about a minute left.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
50 something. That's
and then they
when
went into
happened.
Overtime.
And then they went into overtime, and then Backstrom had that slash on Jenner. And then, like, it was like 10 seconds later,
right,
they scored on the power play. And yeah, it's.
Well, and that just summed it up right there. It's like, we didn't deserve the W because it wasn't like they gave it their 60 minutes. Boston, yeah, I was impressed, even though the shots on goal were still a little like, blah, up and down. I'm not totally impressed with it. But this one was, I don't know what was going on, and it wasn't worthy of a W, but that's okay, because I'm thinking after they played like crap, and, you know, then they all had the snow days off with their family. There was a charity event yesterday that the Caps players went to out in Ashburn at Topgolf, which was very cool. That was St. Jude's Make-A-Wish or Make-A-Par charity event, which, you know, is great. And everyone's there. They're in good spirits. I had a friend that went and just couldn't say enough good things about it. So that's awesome. So now it's time, you know, for us to focus on tonight. From what, about an hour from now, are they drop the puck and let's go. It's time.
What?
Redeem yourself. True. And you're home and let's go.
True. But I want to kind of segue, and thanks for mentioning the charity events.
Mm-hmm.
Always want to put the spotlight on the good deeds this team does, which is besides their winning ways, another reason why we love them so much. But I kind of wanted to segue a little bit, related to that game. And with you had put out a message in the Facebook room, probing for some questions.
Right.
And some of our best fans, best listeners, noted contributors even, probed us back. Now, of course, I mention this now because my plan for 2 weeks from now, when the whole league goes on the All-Star break, is to invite friends of the show that are registered at our Facebook page. And once again, that's Power Play Point Podcast in all caps. Search that in all caps. And you'll find us there. You want to become a member, search that page and ask. And either one of us are always available. But we'd like to have members available for that show in 2 weeks. But a lot of good questions here. We don't have enough time to go into great detail and answer them, but I just wanted to read them out loud. Christian Levesque first. But also Robbie Gross a few minutes later, both posed the question, what can the Caps do to improve the struggling PP? That will certainly be discussed in the weeks to come. I got a few ideas. If you follow Bernie Deal, he has a few ideas. In fact, I think he's spot on. I don't want to get too much into it, but they're not moving around as much as they could. They're not positioning themselves well. There's no speed. There's no urgency. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg for that. Elliot Thomas, our newest members, all the way from Swansea, Wales, UK.
Oh, awesome.
What do we do with Burakovsky? Also a great question, which will probably more than likely be a part of the roundtable discussion in 2 weeks, simply because the All-Star break is kind of a mini trade deadline. That's where a lot of significant deals tend to get made. So hint, hint. So that might be a possibility that 65 is wearing other colors by then. So yeah, that will probably be discussed. And Kevin Simmons with three questions in one. Generally, what could they be doing better? Does it seem like they're not hustling? Yeah. Has the officiating been horrendous? Oh, yeah. Yes, it has. But again, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to go into all of that. I mean, I think you and I could waste more than 2 hours talking about that.
Right.
In and of itself. But I will go into the hustling aspect. And yeah, I'm sorry to say, and you, Anna, you already hit upon it. This game was hard to watch because the Caps just simply did not have any hustle in this game. They just looked slow, and the play was sloppy, and I don't know how else to describe it. No hustle.
What is hustle?
Well, you know, it's hustle. It's just get up hustle. And go. Get up and go.
Just hustle. Well,
no, it's hustle.
No, you're making it like phonetically, and you're going to sound like Trump with his huge. No, it's just hustle.
What? Tell that to the lady on the UMUC commercial who pronounces it hustle.
Okay, well, that's just wrong, and that's an annoying commercial anyway, so.
Well, that's become my what you want. You know how hate that? Yeah. Yeah,
but they have a new one now.
Yeah, I know, but that, you know what that was to you? That thing has become for me. That's why I say hustle, because she says hustle.
Gotcha.
And now I'm glad everybody's noticed, because now they can petition NBC Sports DC to get that monstrosity off the frickin' air.
So I
don't have to hear it anymore. So yes,
agree.
I'm annoyed just as you are, but when I get annoyed, I beat it the hell to death to make my point.
You do.
Is what I do, which is why people are annoyed with me, such as you. But I digress.
Annoyed. Come on. It's 2019. Starting fresh.
Yeah. New resolution. Sure. We'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
We'll see how long.
January is going fabulously, by the way. Start with that. How's that?
Oh, Don't get me started. When I got home off the road, first thing I did was, I took my last two Line and Kugels and chugged those bad boys down. Trust me. Very good times. Okay. But yes, all good questions by Messrs. Levesque, Gross, Thomas, and Simmons. We'll probably be addressing those in some form in the roundtable show in 2 weeks. So, guys, if you're interested, let us know. We'd like to get at least, I'm thinking, two or three people on, maybe a fourth, and we'll go around the room, as it were, and discuss those questions as a group. So I think those are very good starters. So, gentlemen, if you are, interested, do please let us know. And that's an invite for all the members of our, Facebook room group. But, of course, we don't limit it to just the guys. Of course, we have quite a few ladies who make very astute observations about this team. One of them, of course, co-hosting with me at this moment. But of course, we also have members of the page who have made the keen observation at many different points, not only this year, but last. So we invite you as well. And speaking of the ladies, understand that, Anna, you have lined up a feature for next week's show.
Yes. Yes. Well, I am happy to say that I am a big supporter, big follower of on Twitter of Pucker Up Sports, which I believe some of our followers are also following these ladies, which is awesome. And it is 100% female run publication. And it's all about Capitals and the Hershey Bears. And I cannot say enough awesome things about this and support it. It's just way to go. I met Nikki at the Big Stick, the charity event. Super sweetheart, you know, totally into this. Women in sports is, you know, there's no reason why we cannot be hosting a podcast, co-hosting a podcast. Yes.
Is this, she's the same Nikki we had on a few weeks ago?
No. This is Nicole. So I don't know. I see. Yeah. Sorry. So yeah, this is, that one was from Big Stick. This is Puck Rep Sports.
Okay.
And yeah, like, I mean, she's pushing it, and I'm super proud to be part of this because women do belong in sports, and why not? So we belong, you know, podcasts and co-hosting podcasts, and you know how awesome it was yesterday to see the first NFL female ref out on the field. Awesome. I love shit like this because it's like, you know, I've got a daughter and I've got female students, and I want to, you know, always put out there that they can do anything. It's not a matter of, you know, bashing males at all. It's really just saying like, hey, listen, if you really want this and you really want to try hard and you really want to get out there, there's nothing holding you back, especially if you're a female. So I think that this is going to be great. So yes, Puck Rep Sports will call in at some point next Monday, which is great. And then do you want me to mention who the other person is or not yet?
You can give a quick preview of said person if you want.
Sure. So this gentleman's name is Carrie. He's actually a Flyers fan. Which, you know, Gil and I, you never really thought we would have anybody on the show that isn't just, you know, 100% Caps in your blood. But I have to take the time to acknowledge how cool this guy was and being supportive with women in sports and everything else. And he just seems like a really cool guy. We'll get into why Carrie and I contacted each other more or less about a week and a half ago over a jerky Twitter war I was in, and he kind of came to my defense. And so I feel like I definitely have to acknowledge and thank him for that. But he agreed and said he would love to come on the show. And I think next week will be a lot of just the topics of women in sports and, you know, what Puck Rep does and putting it out there, because, you know, there's just as many females out there that know hockey stats than guys do. And why not support it?
Agreed. And so to the second point, we're you know the gist of it, but UC will not see the juicy details until next week. So sorry to spoil that, but we're not gonna reveal anything here, but more to come next week, believe me. Anna will have quite the story to tell.
I will preface it with that New Year's resolution of easing up on the swearing. Well, I have a free pass,
like
a free homework pass for next week, because I think once I start talking about who, and I won't even say the gentleman's name because he's not worthy of our time, but what he said about me and what he has said about female sports casters and female fans is just absolutely disgusting. So, but can I segue into happier female fan news?
Well, I just wanted to make one last point about women in sports. I get that some of you out there may not totally agree. I happen to enjoy women's sports, soccer and hockey in particular. WNBA, not so much, although I am a fan of Ms. Della Don. I Love what she's done with this, with the team, with the Mystics, this past year, leading them to the finals. To those guys who don't like this growing trend, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but get used to it. Several NHL teams have hired female skating coaches. As far back as the 80s, Laura Stamm was one of the most popular power skating coaches. A lot of NHL stars back then owe some of their success to her, I think. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think, at one point were considering a female, I can't remember who, to be a part of their front office staff. So it's becoming a trend, and as the years go by and this kind of a thing becomes more of a thing, you're going to reach out to the best minds, the best people, people who have experience, people like a Cammy Granato that's won a gold medal, or Haley Scrupa that's won a gold medal, or someone with business expertise that becomes an executive. There's quite a few women in the sport of hockey alone that would make great executive, great minds, great coaching prodigies, great for the game in general. So, not to be too long-winded about it, but guys, I mean, it's a growing trend, and it's opening a lot of doors. And I, for one, I have a daughter too. Actually, I have several daughters. So sorry, but I'm not sorry. It's opportunities, and it's ultimately only going to make the game better.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, we will get into more conversations about this later, but I think it's more, for me personally, supporting women in sports, whether they're doing the sport or they're reporting about the sport, and not bashing males and male athletes or commentators, but just saying, hey, listen, you know, we can talk about this also. So that's my thing. So I think next week will be good times.
Yes, definitely. We'll have both of those, Carrie and Nikki featured. And so, yes, we will devote a good chunk of next week's episode to that. So previews of coming attractions for the next 2 weeks. Hope you'll stick around and enjoy. Okay, so did you have anything else before we get to Don's Farm Report?
Well, I had three things, but do you want me to wait till after the report?
Let's do Don's Farm Report first. Okay. To get back to the hockey. Okay, so this past weekend, week 15 in the AHL season for 2019. Let's see, there were 1, 2, 3 games over the weekend. Friday's game, Bears were on the road versus Springfield. The Springfield Thunderbirds, that's the Florida Panthers affiliate. Was a 6-2 loss. Scarbosa with another goal. Ikonen also with the second goal. Vanacek did not have a very good game. Gave up 4 in about half the game. Samsonov stepped in. Didn't do much better. Last word in the comments, brutal. Saturday, much better. Bears against the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. That's the Flyers affiliate. 3-0 win. Sproul and Riley Barber with 2 goals for the Bears. Samsonov stopped all 18. This was a watershed game because it was his first professional shutout.
Awesome.
So we want to highlight that. He goes on to say this ended a 9-game losing streak in Allentown against the Phantoms. Stretching back almost 2 years. So good to see that. And the last game of the week, Bears came home, is a home and home with Lehigh Valley again. And it was a very exciting 5-4 win. Walker, O'Brien, Scarbosa, Hobbs, and Pinho all with the goals for the good guys in chocolate brown. Vanacek in goal stopped 23 of 27. Bears got three in just over 6.5 minutes of the first period. The first six and a half minutes of the game that chased the goalie. Why did the Scarecrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in their in his field. So were these guys. Forwards, Mike Scarbosa, two goals in those three games, as I said, 17 goals now. Already has bettered his mark from last year. Defenseman Connor Hobbs got that one goal and some solid play. Also assisted on the game winner. And the goalies, not so kind to them. Both awful, but both redeemed themselves. Says he gives the edge to Samsonov for his first career shutout in the pros. So good job, gents. Keep up the good work. Wish you'd win a bit more often. Actually, you know what? They did just as good as the Caps, 2-1. So great for them. Keep it up. And hopefully you'll start to turn things around in Chocolate Town.
Let's hope so.
But thanks once again, Mr. Don McLaren, for that. And thus endeth the farm report. Sorry, we can't afford the real music. Okay, so yes, that ends another week in the AHL. So, Anna, you said you had a couple, three things you want to get into before we close.
I did.
Okay, so
the one thing was, as much as I have not acknowledged this player enough, and because I had my ups and downs with him, we need to give a golf clap Power Play Point podcast acknowledgement to Mr. Brooks Orpik and his 1,000th game tonight. It's pretty awesome.
Kind of funny. Mrs. Blue Liner, before we went on, kind of nudged me and made a point to remind me of that. So once again, thanks for hanging the bucket where I leak.
Of course. I don't know about that, but okay. That's just weird. Okay, and then the second thing is I had told you before I had two shout outs, and I epically failed last week to acknowledge these guys over at GNC Auto Service here in Centerville. They also have a place in Manassas. Both Ryan and Zach, who are Capitals fans, probably not to the extent that you and I are, but they are Capitals fans nonetheless. Again, just an auto service place that is always professional, always friendly. Everyone's, you know, it's not intimidating. I never feel like I'm getting, you know, kind of like screwed over with, you know, if I took my car somewhere else, would it be, you know, half the price kind of thing? So Ryan and Zach, thank you. If you guys get an opportunity to hear the show, which I will send it to them later, and their customer service rocks. And then finally, on a happy note, I hope, I heard from Brian Bingham today. A couple weeks ago, we talked about his wife posting the video of her getting her head shaved due to a recent breast cancer diagnosis. So I've been following Heather and her progress and always pulling for her and sending prayers and good vibes. And today happened to be her fourth chemo treatment. And in 2 weeks, she will start going every week for 12 weeks. So far, they said that her side effects have been mainly fatigue, which is good to hear. The MRI is next week to kind of see where they're at. But, you know, still in good spirits. She's posting, and her friends and family that are sending her messages. It's always amazing to see and love and support. So, of course, she's got it from us at Power Play Point Podcast, big supporters of seeing her come through this. And it just so happens that she is a huge, huge Chiefs fan. So we're, you know, I know we've talked about football.
Well, then I know where she's going to be next Sunday.
Right. And here's the thing is, you know, and for as big as a sports fan as I am, and my entire, you know, life, I have been a San Francisco 49ers fan, and that's always been my team, even when they suck. But, and then I've also been a Patriots fan since 2000. But I will honestly say, Heather Bingham, for you, my friend, I am hoping that the Chiefs win, because I hope that your boys go to the Super Bowl and that makes you smile and put all this other crap out of your head for a little bit, because you deserve it. That team deserves it. I do love the Patriots. You cannot knock Tom Brady. I know people love and hate him, but you got to give it up to Edelman, and it's just a good team. But you know what? I'm okay to let Kansas City kind of come in. If it's going to put a smile on Heather's face, I'm all for it.
Okay. So I'm going to be nice and forego my comments about the Patriots, because we are here for Heather, and she is looking like she's definitely on her way to making good in kicking cancer's ass.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm good to go here. I'm going to go grab something to eat and,
So definitely, and me as well, believe me. But before we do, of course, it's Monday evening, and that of course means Sports on the Hill, which Anna will actually be on. By the time you hear this, it'll be already dead and gone into the archives. But of course, every Monday night on Facebook Live at 7 p.m. they air. First segment, as always, is Capitals Talk. Hosted by Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross. Robbie, as I understand, will be at the game live.
I'm sorry. I thought he was going to be at the game. But I just got a text message from him. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so he will not be there. He'll be live on the show tonight.
I thought he was supposed to be at the game tonight, but I think I might have misunderstood. I think he was at the Saturday game.
I see. Okay, fair enough. Hosted by those two gentlemen. And as I was saying, first segment is always Capitals Talk, which features Anna. So again, if you can't get enough of Anna, you can go to Sports on the Hill, the Sports on the Hill podcast. That airs, as I said, Monday night on Facebook Live every evening at 7 p.m. and get more of her wisdom and analysis there. He said,
and
not
a filter.
Filtered version, a cleaner, a kinder, cleaner version.
Yes, that I will support that. I will support that. It's all good.
So there is that. So be sure to catch that as well. And they also, as we always say, they discuss all things DC sports. So Nats going on, Nats offseason's going on, Redskins, of course, DC United when they're on, and the Wizards, of course, they're going through their season now as well. So again, be sure to catch that. That's every Monday evening at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live through the True Radio Network. And again, that's hosted by Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross. So that's going to wrap it up. We've previewed the next two shows. Love very much for all of you to tune in. Please do tell a friend about the show and become a member of our Facebook page. Once again, that's Power Play Point Podcast. Of course, that's in all caps that you're going to search that by. So for Anna Knox, for another show, he said, preventing his mouth from falling off, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you not to buy anything with Velcro ever. Why? Because it's bound to be a ripoff.
Nope.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.